So.
Thank you.
Good morning. Great to see everybody. There's a number of announcements, so I'm going to ask everybody who has an announcement to start heading over so that we get through them quickly. I'm here to announce a couple of things. We have Stephen Hollowitz away today. He had other commitments, and so we want to thank and welcome Ralph Thorne, who's leading us in music and on the organ. Thanks. Thanks, Ralph. And Michael's away with commitments in Toronto, and Anne is under the weather. And so we want to thank Ken and Adele Miles for taking the service today, which is great. I'll pass it over.
Okay. Thanks, Lane. With Easter just around the corner, there are many, many opportunities for music here. And I just want to highlight two of them and draw them to your attention. On Good Friday, April 3rd at 7:30 in the evening, Pro Musica will be presenting Brahms' German Requiem. With a new baby, Paul has taken parental leave, so we will be conducted by Dr. Mark Ramsey with a couple of soloists and one piano, four hands. So it promises to be a beautiful evening of music. There are several members of Pro Musica here, and it would pay you to get your tickets ahead of time because they are $30. If you wait until Good Friday, they're going to cost you $5 more. And the second is what promises to be a beautiful concert by Colamici, a choir, and it will be here on Sunday, April 26th. So put a big circle on your calendar. The concert starts at 3 p.m., the doors open at 2:30, and it's a free will offering. Thanks.
Good morning. I want to announce two things today. One is that we're in the final 2 weeks of our friendship meal sign-up. We are down to just 7 slots still available. 6 of our hosts are full. There are 4 that still have a couple of places available. So please give that some thought and sign up in the Great Hall on those sheets over the next few days or up until April 1st, at which time I will be in touch with the hosts. Some of you are here just to go over how to contact your guests and a few details. Secondly, next Saturday, March 28th, from 10 until noon, we are going to have a polish and pizza party, as I call it, the second annual, to further beautify our sanctuary with mops, buckets, and dusters. If you would like to attend to help us clean before Easter, that would be appreciated. And then we're going to have pizza afterwards. We have all the cleaning supplies, but if you would like to bring an additional pair of rubber gloves for yourself, a bucket and bop. That's something that Don Nicholson said to me in there, and I love the saying, so I'm going to say that from now on. Please do bring that just so that we have all the supplies we need. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My sister's place is in dire need of shampoo, conditioner, and body wash. So the boxes are still located in the same spot, so any donations would be really greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Return to me, return to me. God calls, return to me. To our hearts, to our home, to God alone, we turn to you, O God, we turn to you.
Well, friends, here we are once again in our Lenten pathway that goes round and round and deeper into the heart of God. And if we look back, we have been in the desert. Jesus has met with Nicodemus. Jesus talked to the woman at the well. Jesus met the man born blind and helped him see again. And today, Jesus is going to be with Martha and Mary and help their brother Lazarus. I want to show you something here, so just have a look here. What do you see in my hand? What is that?
I don't know.
You don't know? What? It's not a rock. It's kind of soft. Does it look alive? Looks kind of dead, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Leon is going to help me do something here. Leon, in this jug, there is a little bit of water. Will you gently, gently, gently pour it on that little thing? Okay, and awesome. I think that's enough water. We'll just put the jug down again. Now, it looked dead, but watch for a few minutes and see if it starts to change at all. When you come back after Sunday school, oh, look, 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 we're gonna miss it. There's little tiny tendrils on what looks like a very dead plant, and it's opening up right before our very eyes. So when you come back later, and after you have communion, you stop by and see what has happened. See, it's very slow. But again, here's Jesus doing amazing things, and we're not going to tell you what he's going to do, but something amazing is going to happen to Lazarus, the way something amazing is happening to this plant right now. So with that, we're going to take our little people that have been journeying, and Teddy is going to light the next candle. You can do that right now, Teddy. Teddy, right
in
there.
Two Sundays.
And then we're going to move the
next
people.
Next Sunday it will be
in the very heart of God, Leon, you're right. So we're going to pray while you're moving the people, okay? So, Holy God, repeat after me. Shine your light to guide our feet.
Shine your light.
Show your love to all we meet.
Show your love to all we meet.
As we journey together and follow your way,
as we journey together and follow your way,
may we grow closer to you each day.
May we grow closer to you each day.
Amen. So we will see you later, and don't forget to come and check this out after communion, okay? Okay. On your journey, off you go.
Almighty God, your Son came into the world to free us all from sin and death. Breathe upon us with the power of your Spirit that we may be raised to new life in Christ and serve you in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Please be seated for the readings. A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God to these bones, 'I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." The word of the Lord.
Out of the depths have I called you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice.
Let your ears consider well the voice of my supplication.
If you, Lord, were to note what is done amiss, O Lord, who could stand?
For there is forgiveness with you, therefore you shall be feared.
I wait for you, O Lord, my soul waits for you. In your word is my hope.
My soul waits for you, O Lord, more than the sentinels for the morning, more than the sentinels for the morning.
O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy and plenteous redemption. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory.
Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory.
be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you are going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise Lord Jesus Christ.
Here we go. Dem bones, dem bones, dem. Dry bones, dem bones, dem bones, dem. Dry bones, dem bones, dem bones, dem. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I can't help hearing that song in my head whenever I hear today's reading from Ezekiel. All those bones scattered around the valley, dry, dry, lifeless bones. And God asks Ezekiel, can these bones live? The conversation between God and Ezekiel happens at a time when the people of Israel have been deported to Babylon. They're cut off from their homes, cut off from their way of life, cut off from the temple, the place they have always gone to connect with God. Like those dry bones, they're disconnected from that which gives them life. I'm thinking we can feel for those folks Ezekiel is talking to, those people in exile in a strange land. We are in a pretty strange land ourselves these days. The world as we have come to expect it has been turned upside down. Trade wars with our neighbors, increasing conflict in the Middle East, and closer to home in places like Venezuela, Cuba, and Mexico. Soaring fuel costs which fuel inflation, and on it goes. It's so easy for us to find ourselves on a downward spiral of fear and anxiety, sucking all the life out of us and leaving us as so many dry bones in the wilderness. Can these bones live? Oh God, you alone know. That's Ezekiel's answer to God's question. You can almost see him throwing up his hands, a mix of bewilderment and faith. Hard to imagine living bones in the midst of such a desolate place. Still, Ezekiel puts his trust in God. So God says, prophesy to the bones. Say to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, O my people. And sure enough, as Ezekiel looks on, the bones begin to rattle, coming together bone to bone, growing sinews and flesh and skin. And then God breathes on them, just as God breathed over the waters at the beginning of creation. And God's breath brings the bones to life. Can these bones live? Absolutely. With God's breath breathing life into them, there is always hope. God's breath brought creation into being. God's breath brought life to the dry bones in the valley. God's breath raised Lazarus from the tomb. God's breath raised Jesus from the dead, destroying death forever. God's breath brings life to us, even in the midst of all that overwhelms us. Instead of giving in to fear and anxiety, God invites us to take a deep breath. Breathe in the breath of God and live, O my people. As people in exile, the Israelites thought that they were cut off from God in a strange land. But the dry bones taught them otherwise. Turns out the breath of God was with them all along, inspiring them and giving them life in the wilderness of exile. God had not abandoned them. God's Spirit, God's breath, was active in their midst, filling them, inspiring them with new hope. When we feel overwhelmed by the challenges of life or the conflicts in our world, it's so easy to isolate ourselves, to walk away or to give up and hide. The thing is, we're never cut off from God, and therein lies our hope. God is always breathing life into our darkness, into the dry bones of our faith, into our broken world. Paul reminds us to set our minds on God's Spirit. A mind set on God's Spirit, Paul says, is life and peace. As Christian folk, we are a people of hope, for God's life-giving breath dwells in us. Our Lenten journey through the wilderness and into the heart of God is a time of healing and fasting from all the busyness and distractions and noise, the fears and the anxieties that rattle our bones and make it hard to breathe, hard to find time to sit with God and be inspired by God's peace. Lent gives us the gift of time, time to learn again to pray, time to read Scripture, time to know God in the depth of our being, breathing life into our faith, time to know the Spirit of God dwells in us, giving us life and peace and hope. Just as our children light candles on our Lenten path here each week, guiding the way into the heart of God, we too might consider lighting a Lenten candle of hope in our homes as a reminder to us and as a sign to those around us that God is active in the world, breathing life into our tired, dry bones. As you light your candle, pray for a world in need of God's breath. Maybe use the prayer we pray together with the children here each Sunday, or some other prayer that breathes life into your soul. Then share God's life-giving presence with those around you. As you yourself have been inspired, so inspire others. Check on vulnerable neighbors. Share the abundance you have received from God. Resist the fear of scarcity and embrace the truth that God can supply all our needs. This is God's world of abundance, even in the midst of scarcity. Let folks know you are praying for them. Practice radical hospitality as Christian people, inspired by the life-giving breath of God. Can these bones live? With God's breath dwelling in them and with God's breath dwelling in us? Absolutely. Thanks be to God. Amen. Standing as you're able, let us confess the faith of our baptism as together we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please take a position of prayer. People's response to the prayers in your loving kindness, Lord, refresh us and hear our prayer. Restoring Lord of the wilderness, we thank you for breathing hope into our weary bones. As we worry for the state of the world, and our souls wait in anticipation during our Lenten journeys, we believe you understand our concerns and hear our prayers. Help us be like Mary and Martha, who pinned their hopes and beliefs on you, even as they grieved. In your loving kindness, Lord, we thank you for our clergy, Michael, Anne, and Jerry, and for everyone within our parish, deanery, and diocese who work tirelessly for you. Thank you for all the ways in which they support and encourage us on our spiritual paths. Be with them and sustain them during the upcoming joyful but busy period as we wait in anticipation for Easter. In your loving kindness, Lord, hear our prayer. Creator and healer, we pray for all those in positions of authority and leadership in Canada and around the world. We continue to ask for resolution to the ongoing wars, particularly in the Middle East and Ukraine, hoping that people in positions of power will put peace before power, status, and economic greed. We also pray for resolution and healing for those continuing to suffer in Gaza and in Cuba. In your loving kindness, Lord, hear our prayer. We thank you for the safety we experience here at home. But we also pray for our neighbors, our friends, and our families living in London and Wortley Village who may be struggling with health or mental health issues. Those who are unhoused and precariously housed, and those facing food insecurity. The economic consequences of the wars will continue to impact us all. Whether we understand what someone is going through or not, help us to be ready to assist as we are able. In our church community, let us pray for Stavros, Terry, Cheryl, Lori, Brian, Allie, Joan, Julie, Mary, Curtis, Judy, Imelda, Caleb, Jamie and Sandra, Charles and family, and the tenants moving into their indwell home. In your loving kindness, Lord, hear our prayer. We remember those who have died and those who are near death, praying that your presence and reassurance is felt during these times. In your loving kindness, Lord, hear our prayer. We thank you for our church community and the opportunity to come together each week. Help us be open to receive the spiritual encouragement offered for our journeys and to share your gifts and your compassion with others. In your loving kindness, Lord, hear our prayer.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ,
Have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Please greet one another. God of mercy and compassion, giver of life, your Son has destroyed the power of death for all those who believe in him. Accept all we offer you this day and strengthen us in faith and hope through Jesus Christ, the Lord of all the living. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. We give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, who was tempted in every way yet did not sin. By his grace, we are able to triumph over every evil and to live no longer for ourselves alone, but for him who died for us and rose again. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all who have served you in every age, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. give thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your children. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread. Let your church be the wheat which bears its fruit in dying. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God.
Thank you.
Standing as you're able, let us pray. God of hope, in this Eucharist we have tasted the promise of your heavenly banquet and the richness of eternal life. May we who bear witness to the death of your Son also proclaim the glory of his resurrection, for he is Lord forever and ever.
Amen.
Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And now may God the Creator grant you the grace to see yourselves as God made you. God of love grant you the grace to value yourselves as God values you. God of life grant you the grace to dream God's purpose for you and the courage to live that purpose from the depths of your being. And the blessing of God, Creator, Lover, and Giver of life, be with you and those whom you love and care for this day and forevermore. Amen. Life-giving breath of God, be in you and breathe through you this week. Go forth to love and serve your God in the world.
Thanks be to God.